Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Transformational show about life, laughter, and the pursuit of happiness, delivered by good people doing good business and good things. And I'm your host, Michelle Swinnick. We are your trustworthy resource for sharing personal stories and quality content conveyed with a hint of humor and a supersized side of sincerity. This is our signature segment, The Massey Memo, with our expert contributor, Robert Massey, attorney, solution provider, and protector of the people at Massey and Massey Attorneys at Law. Robert delivers the Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. His engaging and entertaining personality gives the boring law just the jolt it needs to make you want to tune in and learn to better play the hand you've been dealt in this game we call life. Enjoy the show. This is our expert contributor segment, The Massey Memo, with Robert Massey, attorney, solution provider, and protector of the people at Massey and Massey Attorneys at Law. Robert will be delivering The Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. Today's topic, very current event-ish. Peloton, Chris Pratt, where's the outrage for Amazon and the comment culture? First my joke, then on with the show. Since the commercial we're talking about has to do with what they called sexism, and I kind of have to recover from my anti-woman joke I did last episode, I thought this was appropriate. The little girl goes, girls are better than boys. And the boy goes, then why did God make boys first? And the girl goes, duh, you have to make a rough draft before a final copy. I bite my rumble. It was delayed. It's not my trigger finger. Sometimes it goes through, it doesn't. You know, I guess you have to pay thousands of dollars to have the software that actually makes it happen on time. We'll incorporate that into the show. But anyway, There we go. Oh, Robert, so how was Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was relatively stress-free, relatively quiet. Went out with the family, came home, and that was about it. So uneventful is good at this point. How about yourself?
I was invited over to my brother's, and his friend, who was in town for a week, is actually a chef. It's the second time that he has come out here and cooked. So it was great. I didn't have to do anything. Amazing food, and didn't have to do anything other than refill my glass. Win-win, right there.
Very
nice. Yeah. And had leftovers for the next, was supposed to be 2 days, but I ate them all on Friday. So that probably explains why I put on another 5 pounds since Thanksgiving. And what are you going to do? Shell's a fatty. Hey. Tis the season. Yeah.
That it is.
Yeah, so the jeans that fit on Thanksgiving do not fit today. We need to remove ourselves from the desk and perhaps go outside and ride a bike, since this is the perfect season for exercising outside in Arizona and in Nevada. We earned it sweating all summer long, so now we can actually go outside. So we don't have excuses like the rest of the country where, oh, it's cold out. No, you're just lazy and fat. So go outside. Yeah, go outside, Michelle. It's perfect. Yeah,
I just come up with other excuses now.
Well, you can always say, oh, well, you know, by the time I got home, the kids, and I can't use that as an excuse, but you could milk that for a while.
I do.
Yeah, and why not? As long as hey, whatever works nowadays, you know, I see if you could take advantage of it, please. If I might actually make up something along the lines. Well, you know, I'll throw out there. Well, you know, the kids needed to do their homework, and you're like, Michelle, you don't have kids, did you? Did you go everyone, what's going on? Yeah, just trying to make excuses for being fat and lazy. Speaking of fat and lazy, I think that that is an interesting segue into the topic today. So the topic is Peloton Chris Pratt, where's the outrage for Amazon and the comment culture? So I thought it was really interesting, the uproar and the outrage over this stupid commercial, which I watched it. It's dumb, but I didn't get any of this crazy sexism. And, well, this is what I had. I did a little research for the show. And the Peloton ad, which for anybody who doesn't know, they did a 30-second holiday ad, but it actually came out a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not sure at what point it became so insulting to people this week because it's been out for 3 or 4 weeks. But I always find that interesting. So there must be somebody, because it's usually with any of this stuff that happens where you get all this outrage, right? And everything is just all of a sudden today it's bad, but it's been on. Like poor Rudolph. I love this as an example, which I haven't heard any lashback on Rudolph this year. Rudolph's been on for what, since the 60s when they came out with that claymation video? No one said anything. Last year, all of a sudden, everybody's going crazy. Ah, Rudolph, it's bad, you know, and God only knows what the long list of adjectives were that they described it. And then nothing this year. So it's like this selective outrage when it's convenient at the time is just unreal at this point. It's just crazy and out of control. So anyway, to the Peloton holiday ad, it's a luxury, for people who don't know, it's a luxury exercise equipment. Costs $2,245. There's a $39 a month fee. So anyway, the beautiful woman receives this surprise Peloton bike from her husband and records videos of herself over the next year charting the bike's life-changing properties. And the commercial ends with the couple watching her montage of her transformational journey together on the couch. Well, obviously this wasn't a problem 3 weeks ago when it came out, but this week, yeah, whoever's in charge of letting the talking points memo and alerting the tribe of angry people apparently sounded off. So the article, it's been all over the news, but I thought it was appropriate because there was other things going on. And since we brought it up about social media and how this outrage about so much stuff and the cancel culture and the woke and things that, you know, I don't even understand. I have to look up words all the time nowadays. I mean, because I'm not as smart as you, the attorney who did go to law school. But I thought it was interesting that the Peloton ad, it was criticized as sexist, dystopian, and classist. And I was like, all right, I got to look up dystopian. I didn't know what that meant. I'm like, this is crazy. Every time something changes, I'm constantly Googling what words mean because everything, you know, they just keep making stuff up or throwing stuff out there that it's just insane. So, it's just nuts. So the, God, what else did it say? Oh, the whole controversy is about these meaning behind what this video represents. So apparently the underlying message of the husband gifting his thin wife was something that she needed to reinvent herself. So it promoted an unhealthy marriage dynamic, peddling negative body images. And it was just insane. I mean, I'm sure this was, you guys were talking about it at work or even some of your clients made comments, because obviously everything that we talk about on the show is the opposite of the outrage of what this commercial was about.
Yeah. I mean, it's a terrible commercial, not from an outrage standpoint and an offensive being offended standpoint. It's just a bad commercial. But I think there's a couple things now, first of all. The first thing I want to say is you can't overlook nowadays people and especially companies doing things like this on purpose, doing an ad like this that they feel may get some type of reaction on purpose, because how much more mileage did Peloton get out of this commercial because of this controversy? And it's not going to affect the sales. It's only going to increase them.
But as a comment to that, their stock price went down 9% on Tuesday, and it was still hovering around that when I looked this stuff up, which is $942 million. So good press, bad press. You know, they say good, any press is good. This one, I'm not sure, though. This one might be a little exception to the rule.
Look, if there's – I didn't see the stock go down. If it went down, I think they'll make it up in spades. But, I mean, I think that's the first thing. The second thing is I think at the end of the day, we have all of this outrage and on every single thing. There's nothing that can come out nowadays without everyone breaking it down piece by piece by piece, and trying to find something to be outraged about. I think the other thing to keep in mind is I think you have a small percentage of people that just have very loud voices and love to voice their opinion. Because at the end of the day, people have jobs, people have kids, people have lives, people have things to do. And they don't, and if you're a productive member of society, you are not going to spend that much time thinking or caring about a Peloton commercial that could possibly, you could possibly find something sexist or about. People don't care. The general population just doesn't care enough to be outraged, to have some type of very boisterous opinion. They just don't have too many other things going on. So these opinions and this crazy outrage is built by these people that just, it's a small percentage that has a very, very loud voice. But unfortunately, because they have a loud voice, it almost makes it seem like it's the generally accepted view on something. And this happens
right.
with a lot of things, especially nowadays, is that it's disseminated so much and people see it so much that all of a sudden someone that maybe never even watched the ad or read anything about it could be like, oh yeah, that offensive Peloton ad. Because that's the opinion. Again, they don't have the time. They don't care enough to really look into anything, and I don't blame them. And so then all of a sudden it's kind of the accepted opinion. And I think, look, I think this has been rampant on a lot of issues. I mean, not to go beyond even the Peloton ad. I think this has been rampant over the past 3 or 4 years. But I am starting to see that there's a lot of people coming out and saying, you know, what I just said, that, look, this is a small percentage of people that have some type of problem with whatever that thing might be at the time. And it's just because they have nothing better to do than to find outrage in something. And this is some, was it a poorly executed ad? Absolutely. It's a terrible advertisement. Just from an advertisement standpoint, it's a bad advertisement. But I thought it was funny. I mean, what sprung from it is, you know, I've seen a bunch of comedians make parodies of it. Ryan Reynolds, who I think owns a gin company or promotes this gin company, got the same actress to kind of and did an advertisement for the gin where the advertisement picks up where the Peloton one apparently left off, where she's out with girlfriends at a bar and they're just feeding her drinks like she really needs all these drinks because of this man that she's
her horrible
man
husband.
She's married to. And so it's that's the appropriate response. Make fun of it because it's a bad advertisement. Don't sit there and be offended and, oh, I can't believe they made this. This is ridiculous. I mean, it's just a waste of time. It's just a waste of time. It's reading something into a commercial that, I mean, I guess if you're going to find, if you look at something and you're trying to find something, you're going to figure out a way to find it. So if you're looking at that commercial and you're trying to find sexism, you're going to find it. If you're trying to find any other bias you have, you're going to find it. So I don't really understand. Well, I mean, I do understand from the standpoint that a lot of the times these people, they just don't have anything better to do than just let's find something to get outraged about. Let's throw it online. It'll get a lot of attention and that'll benefit us in some way. And I think a lot of times, unfortunately, that's what's going on. And a lot of times it's genuine. And don't get me wrong. Sometimes the genuineness of outrage can absolutely be, there are things to absolutely be outraged about. There's no problem with you being offended by something, but it's just the juice has got to be worth the squeeze in a way. I mean, you got to, is this the cross you want to die on? The Peloton commercial? Like who cares about the Peloton commercial? It's very interesting when it happens, but I do like that nowadays, at least from kind of the media that I take in, which I would say is pretty general media, I do see a lot of people pointing out the fact that, look, this outrage on this or a bunch of different things that come up all the time, it's not the consensus opinion. It's just not. It's the opinion of a very small percentage of people that just love to be outraged by things. So let's just stop. Let's stop feeding into that fire. Let's stop paying attention to it so much. Okay, you're outraged. Okay, be outraged. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep moving on with our lives.
Well, and it's interesting because it's usually this, like the same group, right? Like I said, there must be somebody in charge where they send out the siren and then all of a sudden they jump. They're just very loud people. But what I find disturbing is when the actual media, we're talking about articles or, I mean, when I looked online and I read some of these articles, these are people who are supposed to be journalists, but yet like this is in Arizona. So in the Arizona Republic, one of the journalists, this is what they wrote. And I couldn't believe that this was their interpretation. And it's one thing to make a comment on social media if you're just an average person, right? And I'll read a couple of the Twitter things since they're nuts. But the fact that you are in a role of, you're supposed to be delivering news as a journalist, I mean, if it just makes it, it's just, there's has to, where is your accountability or your role or something to actually have, write this paragraph? This is just one of them. So the article said there's body shaming, the male gaze, insane privilege, the pressure on women to maintain certain standards of beauty and fitness. And some people even read the look on her face where she first mounts the bike as a cry for help, as if she's being held hostage. And this is a journalist who is supposed to be, you know, obviously it turned into an opinion piece, but the journalist who wrote it was not an opinion type of person. So I just think where is the accountability for somebody who says something that, because that's nuts. Like anybody who watched that, this is where they got it from. So then one of the comments I saw on Twitter, somebody said, absolutely 100% chance that this husband in the Peloton ad is abusive. Like, but it makes you wonder what goes through people's minds if this is how they interpret something along the lines. And then, as you mentioned, they spend the time making a comment, or even like a journalist writes an article with using some of this language. So having an opinion is one thing, but everything just seems to be out of control. And as we had mentioned on the show last time, plus you had done a Facebook Live about it, you know, the consequences of social media and actually having some, watch your P's and Q's, because A, there could be some consequences for you personally, whether it comes to work or your reputation or your brand or your company, or in this case where, you know, the stock price went down, or even some liable reasons where you're saying something, but yet now you could be sued for it. So, I mean, there's there's a bigger picture for making all these so quick to judge when you're not necessarily even looking at facts. Like, for example, they were saying how, you know, he must think she's fat and she's thin. Well, no, actually, if you want to look at facts, which, you know, a lot of the stuff that people make comments on, they contradict what actual facts are. And they just go with 100% emotion as opposed to actually knowing anything about what is accurate. Like, for example, if you're skinny, it doesn't mean you're healthy. So 1 in 4 slim people actually have pre-diabetes, and technically they're medically obese because their BMI, their body mass index, is over 25%. Because if you're over 25% BMI, then you're actually overweight. 30% means you're obese, but you could still be thin. And man, that's 1 out of 4 people. The 1 out of 4 skinny people have those problems. So like, they have an outrage saying that he's calling her skinny or he's calling her fat, which obviously she's not. But the real side of it is she's just trying to be healthy. So, you know, you see what I mean? It's just like it's crazy. It's gotten to the point where it's just, the pendulum has gone so far to the other side that you as a business owner, or you as a person who has a personal brand, or even just a regular consumer, you know, you've got to watch out what you post or what you say, or, you know, you have to take all these other checks and balances, because, you know, there's consequences for your personal life and for your business life. I mean, comment on that, knowing that, you know, how a business can be affected a little bit, or even from a personal standpoint.
Well, I mean, absolutely. You know, also, I'd love to follow up on this story, you know, whenever Peloton releases their next, this quarter's numbers, you know, in January or February, because while there was initial dip, I guarantee the holiday sales are going to be through the roof. I guarantee this will end up working in their favor, because that's just how it goes. But in regards to a business, no, I mean, you have to be, look, I mean, there has been a massive adjustment in society over the past 5 to 10 years in regards to what's accepted, in regards to language that's accepted. And you know what? I think some of that was needed. Some of it is beneficial to society, but it certainly has gone way past what is beneficial, to the point where now you can't, I mean, you literally can't say anything. Everyone is offended by something someone says. And if you have any type of platform, any type of business, you really have to be extremely vanilla about what is said, just to make sure that on the off chance someone would be offended by something, that it's not, you know, it's not said. Because, I mean, look, I mean, no one, for the most part, a lot of these things that people get offended about, there certainly was no intent on the person to offend them. Most of the time, I'm sure there are a lot of comments or ads or whatever it might be to offend people. But from a business standpoint, you do have to be careful, especially if you're a public company like Peloton that got a dip. Again, I think it'll end up in their benefit in the end. But there's certainly things that have been done just in bad taste by companies that have ended up ruining those companies or ruining the individuals in those companies. And again, some justified and some absolutely not justified. So it comes down to, you have just to go back to what you said about that journalist, I mean, the journalistic integrity is gone completely. I mean, no matter where you get your news from, there's a twist to it. The day of someone just presenting the facts to you is gone. That just, it really doesn't exist anymore. And legitimately, if someone had like a news outlet and just threw it back to like the 50s, where some old man would come on the screen and literally just read you the facts of what occurred without opinion, he'd probably make a lot of money right now. Because I think people are really yearning for that, to just tell me the facts of this situation. I don't want to hear your opinion or anybody else's opinion. Just give me the facts and let me figure out my opinion. So that's, you know, that's been completely taken away. But it is this small percentage of people. I mean, look, I don't know any successful people that are moving forward, trying to innovate, trying to be successful, driven people that are sitting on Twitter and Instagram and online all day and commenting posts and news articles with their outrage and how they disagree. I don't know anyone like that that is successful that is doing that. So these are people that just don't have anything else to do or unhappy with what they're doing in their lives and project that with this outrage that then, again, because they have such loud voices, it becomes like, oh, this is an actual news story. And it also lands on these large media outlets where they really should be like, you know what, this isn't really a news story. This isn't, we shouldn't glorify this as a news story, because what percentage of people are outraged? And I'm not necessarily talking about Peloton right now, but I mean, there has been so many news stories that you see on mainstream media, and it's like, this is a news story? Are you sure about this? Like, are you sure that Americans care about this and Americans really are outraged about this? Because I got to tell you, the people I know could care less about this. They could care less because they got their own problems. They just have their own problems. So it's like, you know, I think, unfortunately, you know, nowadays when you take in the news and take in media, you do have to take it through a lens of, why am I being told this? What is the purpose? It's very rare that a news story is given to you just to provide the facts anymore. It's to provide an opinion to in some way maybe affect your opinion. And it's just unfortunate, but it has, I mean, look, they, through the kind of cancel culture, and again, some of the culture needed to be canceled, I think a lot of people would say, whether you agree with that or not.
Some is legit. Some is legit. Yeah, I'll give you that much. Yeah.
Some is absolutely legit. You know, there was people and things that needed to be canceled, 100%. But you now have kind of tipped the scales to be like, okay, well, now nobody can say anything about anybody. And it's like, well, hold on a second. Like, really? We can't say anything about anybody? I mean, that could potentially be somewhat, not offensive, but that would somehow offend the other person in some way? Even if there's no, I mean, it's just unbelievable. You can't even say, like, you can't say, okay, this person is overweight or this person is fat when they are overweight or they are fat. Like, you can't state that fact anymore because that's offensive. And it's like, okay, well, I wasn't saying it in a way to try to be like, oh my God, try to offend.
No,
them.
It's
just stating.
It's a fact.
It's
not an opinion. Dude, you're fat. It's okay. It's, you know, like I said earlier, my pants don't fit. I can call myself fat. You called me fat, I wouldn't be like, I cannot believe that Robert referred to me as fat and I'm now offended. And he is a male chauvinist and there's sexism and whatever these ism words that I have to look up. So, yeah,
there is benefits. There is benefits. Look, I am not some fitness. I'm not like Mr. Fitness in any stretch of the imagination. We were just talking about when I was in law school, I weighed 230 pounds. But you know what? When I weighed 230 pounds and I walked by my dad and he was like, man, you're fat. You're
right.
Fat.
Okay, you, what's your dad say? You roll down the hallway.
Yeah, he called me a bowling ball. I mean, he would call me. He said, you need to get in shape. And you know what? It did offend me, but I got my ass in shape. So it worked. So it's like, they're trying to take, it's just too much at this point. We've gone too much in the opposite direction. While it may have been too much in the other direction when I was a kid and when I was growing up, where there was just kind of no thought given to what was said and the words that were used, like, this is what I'm going to do, and I could care less if this offends you or not. We've gone the completely opposite way to say, okay, we can't say anything that anyone's offended by because, it's going to affect us personally. We're going to get canceled or it's going to affect our business. But again, I do think that there is a bit of a balancing now coming back into the world where people are kind of seeing like, okay, well, all right, some of that was needed. We definitely went too far in the opposite direction. Let's land somewhere here in the middle and let's just level out there. And you're never going to get rid of the people on the far, I'll use right and left, not even meaning politically in any way, but on the far right and far left of these issues that is going to constantly be outraged no matter what's said and could care less what you're going to be outraged about and wants to say things that offend you. You're going to have those people no matter what time in history, no matter what you're talking about. There's always going to be people on the far end. But I think if you talk to most Americans, a large percentage of Americans, they're just fine right in the middle. They're not offended by stuff. They're not trying to offend anyone. They're just trying to live their lives. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They just want to live their lives and move forward and be given news stories that actually matter at the end of the day.
Well, but the thing to keep in mind is that when everything is sexism, because every little thing that people get outraged about, and if everything is racist, then what happens is it discredits when there really is an issue with sexism or racism or whatever ism you want to use. So when everything is that, then really there is nothing. It's like the boy who cried wolf. So you're doing an injustice to something that is actually a legitimate issue when you say everything is that. So then, no, okay, so what is not racist then? If you label everything, or what is not sexist? So it's causing damage
absolutely.
When there really is a problem, just like even, the all Me Too thing. Well, which I find interesting that no one's really, the people that were preaching from the social media rooftops and the celebrities, they were all into it. Then all of a sudden, to silence. So if they were part of this movement, and then they're supposed to have an organization or something, but I don't remember hearing anything about it in a long time. So it's the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because it's there's like, I don't know if it's an ideology or what, but it's so contradictory and hypocritical that if you have an issue with something, but then it's only at a one-time pop where it's maybe if it's not convenient for your message or for your product or for what argument you want to win, you forget about it, in, 2 weeks later. Like the Rudolph thing. Where are those guys this year? It's Rudolph. He's already been on. I watched it the other day. I don't hear anybody bitching about Rudolph this year, but last year it was a huge big deal. So,
I think the product is the outrage. And so the outrage just jumps from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. They don't got time to latch on to one thing to be outraged because
then it's not real.
It's
not real.
The outrage, outrage is the problem. And you can tell that the outrage is the product because there's been situations where I can't remember the example I was just thinking of, but where someone would, I'll use a hypothetical example, but I can't remember the exact situation that happened that this occurred. But like, if someone would say something that appeared to be racist, for example, against a black person, but and a white person or an Asian person or whoever it might be points out that they're outraged about this, but then the black community says, oh, we don't care about that. We don't find
right.
that racist. So you have the people that they're claiming that that this was aimed at. They're saying, I don't care about this. I don't find that racist. And they're getting mad about it. You have other people of other races getting mad about it, almost trying to do it on their behalf, which is insulting to that ethnic group anyway. It's like if the person it was directed to or the group of people, whoever they might be, isn't offended by it and doesn't care
yeah.
about it, then why are you getting outraged on their behalf if they don't care?
That's right. It's like the Redskins football team. The American Indian community apparently is cool with it, but yet Juan Williams on the 5 won't even say the term Redskins because he's offended by it, and he's not American Indian. It's like, it's a perfect example. Joy Behar does that all the time, where she gets up on a soapbox and it has nothing to do with her. It's just like a lot of noise, like blah, 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 blah. But celebrities do that because I guess that maybe because their sweat, are they so empty, so shallow, they really don't have anything authentic, so that they just jump on this little trendy outrage train for the 5 minutes. But yet we still go to their movies. We buy their products. We follow them on social media. It's almost like we as consumers or people,
care.
We need to be a little smarter on what comes out of people's mouths and hold them accountable and call them out on it. And that's the thing, is when you see people in interviews on television or even on podcasts or radio shows, and you know that they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, the people that should be holding them accountable aren't. So it's a lot of noise. And I don't know, that's probably the reason why I wanted to talk about it, because obviously our show is totally opposite of that. But I just want to, you know, enlighten the listeners that you really just see through it when it comes to especially what people are saying, because it's temporary. It's just a flavor of the day. And also really also be cautious of what you write. That I'll give you another example. I think we've covered the Peloton thing, but we've also segued into that there's a bigger issue there. And I thought this one was really interesting because as Peloton because the exercise thing made me remember it. The guy that owned SoulCycle and whatever that other expensive gym is that they have. Well, he went and gave a donation to the Trump campaign and went to that fundraising luncheon that they had in the Hamptons. Well, everybody went crazy that doesn't like Trump. So they started to, you know, the boycott, you know, the cancel culture. So they just, you know, the product was attached to his political beliefs or what they assumed just because he was a supporter. Well, so when you have this selective outrage, it might have had nothing to do with the gym, but it was because of the owner of what his political beliefs were, which had nothing to do with the business in a sense where it was just kind of it was extreme and out of nowhere. But in this situation, and I just happened to catch it because I saw it on the news. So Chris Pratt, he was doing an Instagram post, but it was a photo shoot for Amazon. Okay. And this is where I'm trying to blend the two of these together and integrate the problem that it is, where a lot of the times people will look at a picture or they will read only the first three words, but then and make an assumption or loud or create something where now you've got all this chaos and drama and mass hysteria, but they didn't read the next three words that actually contradict everything that they just said. So for what happened was, is he put, this is the post that he wrote. He has a picture of himself standing next to a treadmill holding a plastic water bottle. And it says, you're probably wondering why I'm standing here, low-key flexing, gazing into the distance. Well, turns out I'm teaming up with Amazon to show you guys everything I use for my workouts, keeping active and all that fun stuff you get prepped for 2020. And then it has the hashtags and the website for his page on Amazon. So Amazon did the photo shoot. Now, this goes to two parts. So this one guy, the Aquaman man, Jason Momoa, whatever his name is, he responded to the post saying, bro, I love you, but WTF, on the water bottle, no single-use plastic Come on. So, of course, there's an uproar about this whole thing. But the thing that's interesting is, why wasn't Amazon called out for the ad? Because it's their ad. He was just holding the bottle. So part of it is there was no outrage for Amazon, but there should have been, because Amazon's the one who did the photo shoot and they were plugging the products. And then the other side is, how stupid is Amazon not to put a reusable water bottle with the Amazon logo saying something along the lines of, we love the environment, and maybe even partner with an environmental nonprofit group to donate portion of the proceeds for the sale. And they could have made a couple million dollars from the one post. So it's just, and so when you look at it like that, the Amazon showed their true colors. They don't care about the environment, obviously, because multiple people in the departments that put this together weren't even bright enough to say, hey, we can slip in a product since that's what we do. Perfect reason to do it, and nothing. So that's the other thing is look deeper at what that really meant, because the companies that pretend to care, or what you think you want to support or whatever, they just show their true colors. Either they're not bright, or they really could they could care less. But it's also, look how much opportunity they could have made a product and started selling it. So you know what I mean? It's like there's layers to that whole controversy, but it goes back to, you know, companies and being purpose driven, or actually having good intentions, or are you really being authentic, or what's your end all be all? But yet, no outrage for Amazon. And is that because the people that tend to have louder voices are more left and liberal, and Jeff Bezos is basically like a Trump hater and on the left? So is there a correlation there, perhaps? And I will let you take it from there. I did throw a lot at you, but it's a bigger picture.
I think we might be on different pages on this one, because I feel there's a chance, possibly, you're looking at this kind of in the way, trying to find something. I look at it and say, okay, the guy was holding a water bottle, and that was that. But, you know, I'm not reading too much into it as to, yeah, could Amazon have done a reusable water bottle and promoted a product? Sure. I guess they absolutely could have. Whether that was them falling down on the job or not, I mean, Amazon certainly is doing all right. And I don't, you know, I maybe that wasn't the purpose. I don't know what the purpose of the photo shoot was. I don't know exactly what was the product.
The treadmill and the other exercise gear. And you could buy it on Amazon. So they were plugging their own stuff. And there was outrage. I mean, I don't care about any of that stuff, but I'm saying the outrage that was caused because the comment from the other celebrity, the Aquaman guy, and made a comment about the single-use water bottle, then that was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's like he's a big non-plastic, because he's Aquaman, which makes sense, obviously. And I agree with him. I mean, you know, by 2050, they're saying there's going to be more plastic in the oceans by weight than there is fish. So clearly it's an issue. But could Amazon have done that? Sure, I guess they could have. They could have worked one more thing in. They were probably concentrated on selling the products that the ad was meant for and didn't, you know, fell through the cracks. I mean, look, there was a coffee cup on a table in an episode of Game of Thrones. So stuff falls through the cracks with big organizations. It happens. And I don't think it means that they're idiots. And I don't think it means they don't care about the environment. It just was what it was. I mean, you're probably doing stuff. You have a plastic water bottle and you're thirsty and you take a drink. You know, I get the level it got taken to, and even the guy that made the comment, Jason Momoa, who made the comment, ended up apologizing, like, hey, I wasn't trying to turn this into a thing that was going to get you all this outrage, because he just got, I guess, viciously attacked online.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy.
Because of it. So, I mean, that certainly wasn't the intention. I don't think anybody would disagree with Jason Momoa's purpose and what he's doing with single-use water bottles and getting plastic out of the oceans. It's absolutely needed. It's an absolute. It's a great cause to be behind. And I don't think he, you know, and I don't think by someone drinking a bottle of water, it's them saying, I don't care about the ocean and I don't care about the environment. I mean, that's where it's another good example of people nowadays, they just go to one or the other of the extreme. It's you're either for saving the ocean or you could care less about the ocean. You want all the fish to die. There's no in between on that scale anymore of like, well, no, like I care about the ocean. I wasn't, what are you talking about? I'm not trying to offend anyone by drinking
this
water.
Yeah, fish are cool. Like, I'm cool with the fish.
Yeah, like, no, man, I'm just, again, people are just living their lives. This stuff just, it's just too much. We're looking for places to be offended, to be outraged. So I'm not really, I don't think in any way Amazon should have gotten any backlash. And especially because, I mean, if this was, look, if, what's a competitor? Amazon doesn't have too many direct competitors nowadays.
Like,
but let's just see.
You can say eBay.
Yeah, let's say
that's
eBay.
Still, if that's
like
still
eBay,
around.
eBay,
still
yeah,
eBay.
eBay or Walmart tweeted at Amazon and said, how could you allow a plastic water bottle in one of your ads or posts or whatever it might be? Then I could see it being, but this was a celebrity-to-celebrity thing. And the celebrity that made the original comment has even apologized. I mean, it's like, so I don't see any reason why Amazon should have gotten any type of backlash or outrage or anything, or anybody should have gotten any backlash or outrage. And it wasn't the intent of the post, and the writer of the post has even stated that. Like, this wasn't my intent. It was just to kind of, look, he's promoting an organization he's involved with to try and be environmentally conscious of water bottles. And what did this do? Again, people have to understand that all of these things, the things that get the attention, and again, I'm not talking about people that are doing criminal things or things like that, but little stuff like this that doesn't really matter, okay? And people really don't care about. You cannot underestimate the purpose behind the origination of whatever people are being outraged about. You don't think that this guy knew that this was going to get a lot of attention? That this post was going to get a lot of attention? And that would bring awareness to what he's trying to do? Of course he knew that.
Mm-hmm.
He's got PR
mm-hmm.
people. Do you think he's the one running his social media? Of course he's not. He's got a PR company or a publicist running his social media accounts. So did he intend it to get this outrage about Chris Pratt? No, absolutely not. But he knew it would gain attention. Aquaman's going after a Guardian of the Galaxy. That's a headline that people are going to read.
right. They're both superheroes of some sort, aren't they? Or something along
yeah,
that line.
It's like, I got kids and I love all those movies. I see them all. So people are gonna pay attention to that. People are going to click on the Aquaman versus Guardian of the Galaxy headline. They're going to click on it. They're going to read what happened for 10 or 15 seconds, and they're going to move on with their day, and then that'll be in their head somehow. They know, and oh, they'll be like, oh, Aquaman is for the environment. He's trying to save the oceans. Fantastic. It will bring, and maybe somebody will say, oh, what's the organization? I'm going to do it. Brings attention to it. These people are brands. These companies are brands. And as many times as, hey, look, there's a lot of dummies that work in these companies. There's a lot of smart people, too. They know what they're doing. It's just like, in my opinion, not to digress, but the broken windows at the Elon Musk Cybertruck thing, that looked like a publicity stunt to me.
Totally.
I don't think, I don't think he would have gone. And how much traction did that story get? These people are smart people. And nowadays, it's so easy to manipulate the media to know what to do and what to say to kind of hover on that line where you know a reaction is going to come from one place or another that they know that, and they know all of a sudden they can go spend $1 million on an advertisement and get $10 million of exposure for it because of a reaction that they can invoke. These are not dumb people. So it's just, again, you know, I think people just need to pay attention to that. And I think people are, but it's, I don't have a problem with Amazon not getting any backlash for it. And, you know, when you're a company like Amazon and you got, I don't know what Jeff Bezos is worth now, like $150 billion or something, like, you know, is he going to continue to try to innovate? Sure. Not adding the water bottle to the ad for just one more revenue source, I don't see as that big of an overlook. And I don't see the issue with it at all. I think it's two celebrities going back and forth and almost helping each other out because their names are in the news. The environmental agency that Jason Momoa works with is now in the news. He exposed that more. Good on him because it's a good cause. So I get it. Okay. Let's, you know, I mean, that's, I just, where's the outrage to be had? And that's, it's just a, again, like I said, people are going to find, if they're looking for to be outraged by something, they're going to find it. Because I have to tell you that, and again, I love the fish. I love the ocean.
Right. Fish are your friends. Fish are your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. My family loves going to the beach. I'm all about it. But if I would have looked at that ad, I would have never noticed the plastic water bottle.
Right, right.
I would have never noticed it. But look what happened. This guy tweeted about it, and now I'm conscious of, oh, okay. Yeah, plastic water bottle. Maybe it's better to use a glass. You know what I'm saying? So he achieved the purpose, but people kind of thought like, oh, he's going to attack him, so I'm going to attack him too. And people were like,
yeah, the comments are crazy that people write. It's just so angry. It's like, who has not only the time, but how much anger do you have about things in general to make those comments and actually put them on into the ethernet where it's out there? And you just go, oh my God, it's you're not playing with a full deck of cards. You know, when you make these comments.
When you have individuals that probably have like 5 cases of Costco size water bottles in their garage.
Right. Call hypocrites.
That's one water bottle saying, how dare you? It's like, all right, well, show me what you're doing for the ocean, man.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
That's the thing. It's the hypocrisy that gets me. That's the part where I just shake my head.
Yeah, they can hide because they're not going to be exposed. They're not going to be exposed. They can hide behind their keyboard. They can say whatever they want to say. And they know that the chances of them ever being exposed or being a hypocrite or not knowing what they're talking about will never be shown. So it's a very – with the internet and social media, we have taken the threat of being punched in the face if you say something insulting to someone completely out of the equation.
Exactly. So now there's no accountability.
If you wanted to insult someone, you had to say it to your face. And if you insulted them, there was a chance you were going to get punched in the face. Now that's taken away. So if there's no risk to something for an individual, then they're going to do it. And if they have a desire to do it, they're going to do it. So it's, you know, it's the culture that's been created. It's the instrument that's been created to do it. It's certainly an issue. But again, I think it's starting to balance out where a lot of people are looking at stuff and saying, okay, yeah, I know there's outrage about that, but I know that the general population of America really doesn't care about that. The guy that's working a double shift or a swing shift on the strip really doesn't care about the Peloton commercial. Or a woman working on the strip. It really doesn't care about the Peloton commercial. It just doesn't. People have their own lives. They got their own stuff. And they just want to keep it moving. for the most part.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the old-fashioned way of having an argument with someone where you punch them in the face. And if that does happen to any of our listeners, well then, and you're in Nevada, well then please call Robert. We did a show about assault battery and what happens if you do get punched and the pros and cons and what to be, how to react to that accordingly. So there, our previous show has that. So yes, definitely call Robert if you do run into an altercation that you punch somebody in the face, or they punch you because you said something. So we got you covered. We got you covered all over.
We do.
For everything you need.
We do.
Everything you need.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Well, and I'm glad we gave you a little plug there, too. And I know that one of the great things that you're doing through the end of the year is life planning, free life planning. And it's supposed to be called estate planning, but I think you coined a new phrase where it really has nothing to do with what people picture in their mind as an estate, because it's not a mansion. It is all the things that you need to have legal recourse and legal authorities and protection for. So the life planning, if you want to chat about that just for a second, because it's the end of the year, it's, you know, end of the decade, 2020 is coming, you know, be prepared, people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's just to kind of plan out the assets that you own, even if you don't own assets. It's really to plan out your life, how you want things to be distributed after your death and be protected during your life. And we do the will, trusts, powers of attorney, medical directives. We handle all of those. We can get you set up with whatever your personal needs are, whether you have $100 in the bank, no, $1 million in the bank, whatever it might be, whether you have kids, no kids, married, unmarried. And now from the end of the year, we're doing free legal consultations for any estate planning matters. You can contact my office at 702-870-1100 or visit us at MasseyandMassey.com. Come in and we'll sit down. We'll go over everything, figure out what estate planning or life planning documents work best for you, and we will get you set up. The holiday season, there's a lot of families, they travel together, so you need to have these documents in place. God forbid if something would happen, God forbid there's some type of common accident, so everything is covered and you know everything will be distributed based off of your wants and desires in these documents. So that is one area of my practice. The main area of my practice is personal injury. So if you're in a car accident, please give us a call. Again, 702-870-1100. We also do business law and real estate law. So if any of those needs, give us a call, visit our website, and we will be happy to help with all those needs.
And all of Robert's information and all of the past shows for the Massey Memo are on our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. So use that as a resource. Go there. Learn about all the different topics that we've covered since we started the show back in the spring. There's lots and lots of fun episodes. We're doing it every Friday. Well, not every Friday, on the first and third Fridays of every month. And I will I'll end the show on a somewhat funny note. When you were describing things that people will need the estate planning for, the life planning, you said kids, no kids. And it reminded me of a guy that I dated many, many years ago where he had kids. And I was trying to coordinate a concert and then also a trip. So it was always kids, no kids. So we'd have to look at the calendar. We got kids, no kids, kids, no kids, kids, no kids. So whenever I hear kids, no kids, it reminds me of looking at the calendar of trying to plan just a simple date.
Absolutely.
And I didn't have kids, so I could, you know, out of sight, out of mind, I'm like, oh God. All right, pull out the calendar.
But
kids, no kids, kids, no kids, kids, okay.
Yeah.
All right, are we good to go in six months to go to this concert, or you're going to magically tell me you got kids, no kids weekend? So, yeah.
But that's a great point, too, with, you know, people with deaf kids, adopted kids. That's a big legal issue that you definitely need to think about, because I know I have a lot of clients, like, they'll have stepkids, and they want to make sure that none of their estate goes to their stepkids. So you need to put that down and make sure that's all set out the way you want it to be set out. But I digress.
Yeah. So there you have it. And a pet, too. What happens if you're no longer here? Who takes your pet? You know what I mean? You can throw that in there, since more people care about their pets than their own kids nowadays. So whatever works for you can be in these documents. So you're totally protected.
Yep.
All right. Well, I believe that is it, sir. Swinnick and Massey out.
another great episode with my good friend, Robert Massey. Robert will be delivering the Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. All of our guests and experts' information and their shows are listed on our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. We encourage you to check it out and begin to use it as a resource to meet, hire, and learn from good people doing good business and good things. Just click anywhere on their banners and enjoy the show. You can also listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and Blog Talk Radio. We're making it very easy and convenient for you to listen to us and enhance the quality of your life. And remember to like and follow Everything Home Talk Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And feel free to send us an email or message on which topics you want to hear about and which guests you want to learn from. I appreciate you listening. Make it a great day, everybody.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.